Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today we're going to celebrate Jesus and probably a little bit different than some of you are expecting, because we're going to talk about the facilitation of Jesus through his stepdad. Oh, I got something for you today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Then we'll go to chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. You'll be aware today of something, and there's a message for us today. Reading at verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him as his wife. Took him his wife.'" Okay?
"And did not know her till she had brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus."
And then in chapter 2, verse 13 through 15, we go to, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' Verse 15 together. And as till the death of Herod, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we want to spend some time today. We're celebrating Jesus, but we're celebrating in a fashion that it took a tremendous sacrifice on the part of someone that I don't want to call him an unsung hero, because that's not what it's about. But it took a perspective that we're looking beyond ourselves for the benefit of others, and that's what Jesus did. And Lord, I pray that today this message would sink deep into our hearts for those who are feeling like they're just kind of on the outside. Lord, bring them to the inside of the reality of knowing that we must live our lives for more than for ourselves. First of all, for you and for the sake of others. Holy Spirit, direct our conversation today, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Without removing the emphasis of the birth of Jesus Christ, and that's not my goal today, but I would like to take a look at his father. You say, what? Who in our culture, in reality, would be a stepdad or stepfather. And his response to the challenge of being the protector and guardian of the Savior of the world. Even though this statement seems awkward and hard to fathom, the reality is that there were some choices that he made that were a demonstration of God allowing man's submission to play a part in the salvation of the world. You play a part in God's plan. Don't let the devil tell you that what you do is insignificant. It doesn't affect other people. It affects a lot of people. And I'm here to turn some people around who thought they were in nothingness, that my life doesn't really count, or I'm not a preacher, I'm not a singer, I'm not an evangelist. No, you are someone significant that God has his appointment on you. And Jesus will come forth in your life and the life of others as you learn to be submissive to God. Well, first of all, here's my question for you. Are you willing to take on responsibility for the salvation of others by putting your own life and future in jeopardy? Whoa. Are you just living for you? Are you living for someone else? How about question number two? Can you find the love and grace to give and nurture someone else with a pure heart? I know it's just so difficult at this time. We're giving and we're trying to bless other people and tell them how should we love them. But diving right into the message, and we go back into Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Put that back up on the screen. It says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is alive and well in your life. And he can give you instructions that will go for surpass your intellectual ability to comprehend. Let's go a little deeper than that. So, faith to believe that Jesus will come into your house. That means that Joseph had a divine encounter with a messenger from God, that Jesus was going to come into his house. I believe every person that has come to salvation had to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. You ain't saved. Your salvation is yours, and you can keep it because we can't use it. But it's only when we allow the Holy Spirit to get through the outer shell of us to a place in our heart where we're willing to surrender our rights and things to Jesus, only then can God come into our lives. I know people try to make up their own salvation, and it's homemade. Look like it. A little raggedy, a little rough. But here's a story. When the opportunity comes to Joseph, Jesus was already in the womb of Mary. And so the story as it unfolds, it comes to Joseph as a person that, you know, it comes along that he finds out that Mary's going to have a child. He says, "Oh boy, what do I do?" And Holy Spirit says, "Don't worry about it. I did it." And there's a blessing for you if you can cooperate with me with what I want to do through your life. Well, Mary had surrendered her body for God to use it in the same way that Joseph had to surrender his body to be used of the Lord. How many of us are willing to do that? Don't raise your hands yet because I don't want your neighbor to know. But how many of us are willing to just surrender to God to something that seems almost impossible, unfathomable, unfair, all the above? That's a tough one. But moving forward, we can say this. The Holy Spirit is the only person that can bring forth Jesus in our lives. He's the only one who can do it. And it will be a cause for some major, not minor, adjustments in us to bring this to pass. Well, we must be willing to accept the supernatural coming of Jesus into our lives. That means supernatural means it's not explainable all the time. Now, some of you, if we were allowed to give you, you're allowed to give your testimony, some of you don't know how you got saved in the condition that you were. Because somehow the truth of Jesus cut through all the nonsense you're going through, and it made sense that if I surrender my life to Jesus, something will change. Because some of you were so hooked on drugs or hooked on you or anything else you were hooked on. And somehow the Holy Spirit was able to break through with the truth and the reality that there was someone greater that could come through and change everything about you. Can I get an amen in the house today? We're on the highway to hell, and God got a hold to you. God bless you. Well, Joseph had to overcome what he knew to be true about how life was meant to be, or life was brought about. And so the Holy Spirit says, "Don't worry about taking Mary. She's having a child, and I'm the father." Oh boy. Would that stretch your imagination just a little bit? I mean, some of us want to just kind of put that off to the side and just kind of say, "Well, it was just meant to be." No, 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 no. There are decisions that are made along the way. And let me open your heart to this. Believing the word of God over what we know in the flesh is the only way we can experience life in Jesus. Believing the word of God over what we know in reality is the only way you'll get to know Jesus. Because some of you say, well, I have never been able to stop using drugs. And the Holy Spirit comes along and says, put your trust in me and I'll take that out of your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because I'll tell you what, you couldn't have quit without Jesus. You couldn't have turned your life around without Jesus. And you say, well, why are you picking on the things like that? I say, well, you know, those are the stuff that are killing folks every day. We have an epidemic in our country over prescription use of abuse of prescription drugs, and people, because they can go out and get it, call their doctor, this type of thing, and people are killing themselves. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can set you free today. And that's what we need to realize, that what God wants to do. Well, anyway, Joseph had to abandon his logic and to plan and a plan to protect Mary, to put faith in what he had heard the angel to say. He says, you know, yeah, this thing about the Mary's having a baby. Okay, she's having a baby. The nice thing for me to do, be a neat guy, is I'll kind of get quietly, put her off to the side, and that'll just let the whole thing go. God says, I don't need you to help me do anything. I need you to stand up to what I've already done. See, some of us want to fix it for God. God don't need you to fix nothing for him. He needs you to obey him. But he don't need you. That's the reason why you're in such a mess right now. You've been fixing stuff. Leave it alone. We must overcome the fear of believing what we thought was impossible. In other words, the angel reminded Joseph that he was the son of David. You've already got the stuff that's necessary for this to happen. You're in the right, you know, bloodline. So that'll work for you. He says he had to overcome the fear of people not believing what he had encountered with the angel of the Lord. You know what I found out? Why most people do not witness? Because they're afraid people won't believe them. Can I say it the word for you? Coward. Chicken. Milk toast. Wimpy. You are so concerned about you that you're not concerned about their salvation. I got something for you next week. I dare you to come back. But anyway, this little introduction. So he goes on. He says he needed to embrace the belief of the Holy Spirit was a belief in that the Holy Spirit was the father of the one that who would be called his child. Wow. So Joseph had to be willing to relinquish all rights to the child while being willing to take responsibility for it. Oh boy. It's like someone giving you a car and leaving the title in their name. Is this my car or not? Oh, you can drive it, but the title's in my name. I said, well, I'm gonna keep your car. That's how we are. Honey, if I can ride, I don't care whose name is it, I'm riding this car. And you can pay the insurance, the gas too. God bless your heart. I want it to be mine. It got to be mine. Oh, I don't want to have it in my life. Well, I can't fix you right now. Later on. He had to accept the name that was appointed to him. And that wasn't the culture back then. The father had the choice of what the name of the child is going to be. He says, oh, by the way, she's going to have a child, and he's going to be a wonderful counselor. You know, he's going to be, and his name's going to be called Jesus. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with Jesus telling you how things are going to be and you don't get a vote? Because for Jesus to be formed in your life, there are some things we must willingly give up and not feel like we've surrendered anything because the benefits far outweigh what we've expended. Well, moving on to the thought that Joseph submitted to what the angel had told him to do. And Joseph must have taken into account the word of the Lord concerning the Messiah, how he was to come. And Joseph's fear was overruled by his desire to be obedient. Now, here's another part about the story that I think is, it's a personal part of it that we talk about just a little bit, kind of brush over it. There was a decision that was made, and theologians have tried to figure out, well, you know, was there another conversation the angel said for Joseph to keep his wife here until Jesus came forth, or was that a decision from Joseph? You know, I'm leaning on the side of Joseph. I'll tell you why. Here's a man who's willing to take on what the Word of God has said. That's already going to be controversial. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give God full rights, and Jesus can be formed in my wife. He says, and I won't claim any part of her until Jesus has the right of way in all that happens. Here's my question for you. Does Jesus have the total right of way in all of your life? Or have you compartmentalized it? Divvied it up? Well, Joseph was the father of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. You see, how does this work? Matthew 2, 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take a child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until we bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. He's taking responsibility here. He's becoming the protector of Jesus. Here's the part maybe you've never entertained. Couldn't God have just done away with Herod? Just, you know, you're done. But he used Joseph, one who was willing to relocate and to change the course of his life to protect what God was about to do with Jesus. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about there are some things that God vests in you as a responsibility to preserve the righteousness of what he wants to do through your life and through nations that will come after you. You're not some arbitrary, random person that's been placed on this planet. God has plans for you. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to change the course of nations. Because see, the devil's been small-timing you. And what small-time means, well, you ain't too much. You have to keep something just kind of on your level. God wants to take you beyond your level. And so the word comes to, he says, now Joseph, I got a job for you. Move. Go to Egypt. And stay there until I tell you it's okay. Question, are you willing to relocate so Jesus can be formed in your life? Are you willing to change your position and direction so God can do a work in you? Well, he's submitted to the word of God to protect his family. He's willing to do whatever it took, however long it took. And he was committed to do whatever it took to keep Jesus safe. Now, here's the thing that we'll deal with. Joseph assumed the title of the role of Jesus' father in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 43. Here we go. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Going on to the next couple of verses. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. You know, if you stop at that particular verse, you say, well, yeah, I guess, you know, and we can spiritualize it. And, if, you know, he says, didn't you know I was in my father's house? But the deal that I wanted to get here is in verse 48, it just says, so when they saw that he was in the temple, they were amazed. And he says, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Wow. It kind of goes back and forth. And I was wondering why in one particular scripture it says, you know, Joseph and his mother. And other times Mary says, your father and I. Is that to confuse you? No, it's basically to help you to understand that it's a decision that's being made that Joseph is indeed fathering Jesus. Oh boy, that's a stretch. So let me help you with that. Jesus willingly took on his Father's vocation. This will help you. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This will help you. Then he went forth from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many were hearing him and astonishing, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that he's given to him, that such mighty works are being performed by his hands?" Verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. Just take those first three words. Is not this the carpenter? Joseph had an influence on Jesus' life to the point, being the father, call him father figure if you want to, his father was a carpenter. Guess what Jesus did? Carpenter. Now, I know if you were in that particular position, you'd say, I don't do wood. I don't do wood. It's just not me. I'm a painter, I'm an artist. I need a canvas, the world is my canvas. That's why you weren't chosen. Because you got an issue. But no, it was known that Jesus became a carpenter like Joseph. This is messing with you. I know it is. I'm going to finish this up good in just a couple minutes. That'll help you through this whole process. I want to tell you something that's important. Jesus chose to identify with us. He could have just been stayed in the temples till he got of age, went around just confounding people, doing other types of things. But he took on the realm of a carpenter. And I imagine he was pretty good. Some of y'all do just enough to get by. You know, I think of that in the particular sense that, you know, he says, "Well, I'll be a carpenter for my dad, but you know, this is just my day job. My night job is saving the whole world." Full-fledged, he got into the business where that was what he was known for. Well, being known as the carpenter's son was a testimony of the grace that was found in Joseph. Though there was little information about Joseph and his influence in Jesus' life, it was apparent that Jesus never tried to distance himself from the relationship with his father. That's pretty amazing. And at the same part, there's this part, he showed him honor and respect. The other piece I need to instruct here is when Jesus' life seemed controversial, his opponents would refer to him, to Joseph, as being his father. John 6:42, here we go, another place. And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, 'I come down from heaven'?" The delineation or the gap between Jesus and Joseph, the way he lived, was eradicated. We just about finished because there's some thoughts I want to get to, and this is just for today. So Jesus didn't mind that his first disciples referred to him as the son of Joseph. John chapter 1, verses 45. This is great. Philip and Nathanael said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law, also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of," read it. Huh? Read that again. It says, Philip found him. "We have found him in the Moses in the law, and also the prophets wrote that Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." I want to take you to a place that Jesus honored his earthly parents with true love and submission. But these are the last points I'm going to make today. Although Joseph appears to have died before Jesus began his ministry, he did many things right to prepare him for it. Joseph's preparing Jesus for ministry? Well, let's consider it. Number one, he carried himself in such a way that Jesus was not embarrassed to call him his father. Can I mess with you for a while? I'm going to. Have you carried yourself in such a way that Jesus would identify with you? These people, they didn't treat me. I'm going to ask you folks over here. Or are there some gaps in the way that your behavior that Jesus couldn't identify with you, not because he didn't want to, but you've chosen not to identify with him? Second thing, he made choices in his life that made it possible for Jesus to survive the efforts to have him killed. Are you willing, all of us, in the time where they sought to kill Jesus, if there were an opportunity where they would say in our culture or society that, you know, no longer can you proclaim Jesus or talk about Jesus, this type of thing, are you willing to forsake your job, your vocation, or this type of thing, so you can still name the name of Jesus? Or are you just going to kind of just eliminate Jesus out of the picture? Ooh. Now, see, you could have stayed home and watched the turkey. But you're here. I'm going to move on quickly because somebody's stinging right now. Number three. This part would seem kind of different. He taught him a trade that was respectable. You say, well, what good's being a carpenter? It shows that you're able to identify with the struggle. Now, I realize that there's some people don't have to struggle. They have a bit of affluence or whatever it happens to be. That's perfectly fine. But for some reason, God described or God prescribed for Jesus the way he came, that he came in a rather common fashion. Poverty, poor, whatever you want to call it. Now, poor does not mean spiritual. Let me tell you that. I know some poor people that are pitiful. They're happy they're poor and the meanest folks I've ever met on this planet. So being poor doesn't mean you're humble and whatever that means. So throw that away. But he identified with this particular occupation. And Joseph taught him this. Number four is this. He put his personal interests aside so that Jesus might take preeminence. Well, last three things I want to share with you. Those were just principles. These are the things you can take home with you. These are three things that I think that Joseph taught us. Number one, living beyond yourself. Who are you living for right now? I'm living for my kids. I'm living for whatever. I'm living for retirement. Good luck with that. But Joseph, when he made that decision, he says, you know what? I'm not going to divorce, put Mary away, because the word of the Lord has come to me, and I choose to believe God. And I choose to put my life under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has formed a child in Mary, I'll take care of him. Second one is, loving beyond yourself. Living and loving are not the same. I've been blessed. I have two natural born children. My youngest daughter, she's here with me today. I'm so glad to see her. But I have four boys. All four boys are adopted. All four of them are. The love that God places in your heart to love someone, I guess I'd have to say it's almost easier when you say, that's my baby, she looks like me. Easy to love when someone looks like you. They may not be happy, but. You know, the gene pool can turn on you. Matter of fact, my daughters remind me, at the very start, I said, Daddy, I got allergies, it's all your fault. You know, you get some things in the bloodline, that DNA doesn't always work the way it's supposed to. But when you go and you find someone and you kind of pick them out and you choose to love them, it doesn't supersede the children that you've born, but there's something about it that is something that God can put in you that people don't understand until they realize it's only done by the Spirit of God. And the last thing is this, giving beyond yourself. What does that mean? It means that his life was dedicated to the fact that as long as I'm here, none of us really know because there's no historical evidence on the life of Joseph of how long he lived, but obviously toward some point in his ministry, it appears that Joseph had passed away when Jesus came into the fruition of his ministry. But I believe he paved the way for some great things to happen. You say, how do you end a service like this? I think there's only one way to. It's what is God saying to you that can bring you to a place where you're willing to have your life totally adjusted that Jesus can come forth. What adjustment, not even adjustment, I say radical decision that needs to be made in you so Jesus can come forth in you like he desires to. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And this is not to try to capitalize, but it's rather to bring you to a place of understanding that there are things that we do in our lives that need to have a real reason, an appointment for them. Joseph made some decisions and they were all tied into what the Holy Spirit says, don't be afraid to take Jesus on. Because what's being born is of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to make some adjustments in you today. I'm gonna pray, and at the end of my prayer, I'm gonna ask people today, say, are you in the place where Jesus wants you to be, or in the place where you can give your life over to him so he can direct you for purpose beyond yourself? Father, today, it's amazing how we have people always try to pick the things that kind of fit in our profile or our wheelhouse or things that we feel that'll be best for us. But Lord, today I want you to teach us to live beyond ourselves. Lord, I'm not trying to deify Joseph, but I do know that decisions that he made, that you are willing to be, on a physical sense, submissive to a man who made way for you to redeem the world. And God, so many of us have thought that we're so insignificant, but Lord, your hand of appointment and love is upon people in this room who thought they would never be worthy of Jesus. God, would you show them today that you're in this house, that you're here for them. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I want to give it up for Jesus. I've been living for me and all the stuff that I want. I'm willing to not take a risk. I'm willing to give myself over that the Holy Spirit can be formed in me. If that's you, there's some people here who would love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you, just lift your hand and say, yep, that's me. I'm good with that. God bless you. Anybody else that says that, yeah, I need to do that today, just lift up high where I can see it because I want to be able to minister to you. That's great. Anybody else? God bless you over there. Yeah. All right, you can put those hands down. We're singing just a chorus of how great is our God. And as we sing that chorus, I'm going to invite those people that lifted their hands just to come down to this altar. The splendor of the King. The splendor of the King. That's right, come on.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.